Thank you. Good morning. It's good to have each and every one of you here this morning. We have one or two visitors. Good to have each of you here with us today. We are going to be sharing in a special service this morning, commemorating the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we would like for you to share in that worship experience with us. We would like to invite you to turn your hymnals to hymn number 123, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. And then Brother John Eichhorn will bring us our invocation. And so we will stand for the singing of this. Hymn number 123.
Loving Father in heaven, thy family, Father, have gathered here this morning to worship and to come before you with broken hearts and contrite spirits. We come, Father, this morning asking that thy power of thy gift of thy Holy Spirit would rest upon each one. For thou knowest, O Father, each joy that's within the heart and within each need that is present. We also recognize, O Father, the great gift that you have given to us, your Son. We recognize as he was laid in the manger, Father, even wrapped in swaddling clothes, that he was given as a sacrifice, that Lamb, O Father, that you presented to us that we might have life and that we might have the gift of forgiveness of our sins, but also, Father, that we might have eternal life. We recognize that it's by his grace and his ministry that we are here this morning. And we're here that we worship him with all of our heart, our mind, and our soul. Recognizing, O Father, that as that sacrificial lamb, that he came that as a gift to each of us. And in that preciousness of that gift, that we are made into the people that you've called us to be, we come humbly before you, Father, even asking in this invocation that we would be forgiven of our sins, that we would be lifted up in our hearts and in our spirit, that we would have a greater understanding of that purpose for which he came, and for that gift, O Father, that you so graciously gave, even at the cost of many tears and of sacrifice and of love. And may we be nourished in that love even now. And we ask this blessing in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
I'm going to read from over here. I know some of you prefer that we be in the middle, but this needs to be the center of our attention this morning. And so I'll try to extend my voice and my eyes toward everyone. I love the music of Christmas. I don't know how we would have Christmas if it wasn't for music, but of course that's not quite right, but it is so beautiful to me. A couple of the local radio stations in Kansas City start playing Christmas music full time way back in November, but you kind of find it to be the same 15 hit songs over and over again, and I want to hear the real music, and it's all lovely to me. And so I'm happy to share with you some things. You need to know that I do not have favorite songs. If I do, there are like 1,000 of them. So it's hard for me to pick, but we'll do the best we can. I was even going to think about O Come All Ye Faithful and teach you how to sing the chorus of it, at least in Latin, which is where it comes from. But we'll look at 3 songs this morning. Many of our beloved songs of Christmas have beautiful and poignant stories of the writers, the composers, and the ways in which the songs originated. Many could be shared effectively today. I'm thinking of such songs as the 200-year-old Silent Night that has a wonderful story. Our own church's Silvery Star, Precious Star by Elbert A. Smith and Audentious Smith Anderson. And the background story of I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day that we have just sung by Longfellow. It's especially touching. If you don't know that story, you should look into it. There's a recent film that's just come out portraying that story, and I think you can find it online or on some of your television, however you do those kind of things. I know Michael and Elisa had let us know that they had watched it and said it brought them both to tears. Marcia saw it the other evening or the other day too. I will share about 3 of our familiar Christmas hymns this morning. Many of our best liked songs have traditions that actually are relatively recent. It's only within the last 150 years or so that many of the songs that we share have become familiar and traditional for us. Congregational singing was not common until after Protestant Reformation. And sacred songs from the earlier Catholic traditions were not kept so as to be familiar with the general public. And obviously there was not radio and recordings and people who had instruments in their homes. They were performed only by the liturgists, the monks, and the musician performers. The exception of these old sacred songs from antiquity were those of the folk tradition, like Deck the Halls, or God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. Even some of our American songs, I Wonder as I Wander, we heard earlier this morning, and Go Tell It on the Mountain. These are exceptions. And these were passed along in an unwritten or an oral manner, and sometimes their sources and writers were even unknown. The first song to share today is somewhat an exception to what I have just said. It is likely the oldest sacred Christmas hymn to be commonly sung today. O Come, Emmanuel dates all the way back to the 9th century, and the author, obviously, is unknown. Its use was for the liturgical services of the Catholic Church. It originally would have been formally sung in Latin by monks or liturgists in the services around the Christmas season. The rest of the year, it probably was laid aside, not even heard. In the week before Christmas, however, one verse of the song was performed each day for 7 days just before Christmas, as Mass and other worship observances were done daily. It is pure in style and typical of the chant-like melodies that were in use in the church at that time. And these are referred to as plain chant, plain songs, or Gregorian chants. You notice as we sing, and as if you know the printed music, you'll see there is very little rhythm to this song. It's almost all quarter notes and a few long notes having been added to make it feel a little more sing-songy in our common usage. And the pitch ranges are narrow. They're quite limited, just to a few pitches, few notes. And it is, we might say, a kind of monotonous, but that's in a good sense of the word. One can imagine, and maybe you've heard the chants such as this one that were sung by monks a cappella in style in the large cathedrals with all the reverberation that makes them sound kind of distant. In 1818, an Anglican priest retrieved and brought forth the melody and the text and developed it into use that has lasted into our age. Now in the chorus, the repeated words, rejoice, rejoice, seem to add to it and appear to be the fervent part of the message of this song. You'll find O Come, Emmanuel in your gold books, number 57. And I'd like to challenge you to sing with fervor. In our scattered condition, sometimes we don't put a lot of energy into our singing like we did at the rest home the other night. So sing right out.
Oh, my God.
can't help but notice how some of those verses seem like it's today. The next selection is one of the most moving and beautiful carols that dates back to the Victorian era, perhaps even before Henry VIII, with some even saying that he himself might have written it. That might be doubtful, but it's possible. And this one coming from more a folk tradition, the words have been many and varied, lots of different verses, and lots of ways the texts have been carried on. The melody is not quite what we would desire as being sacred, but quite secular. It is not unique in that situation. We are reminded that our Star Spangled Banner was set to a definitely unseemly and perhaps inappropriate melody borrowed from the secular world. The melody of What Child Is This uses the old common folk song called Greensleeves. It was named for a Lady Greensleeves of English folklore, unfortunately whose reputation was less than stellar. We'll leave it at that. But the melody lent itself so naturally to the accompaniment on guitar and lute, therefore it was commonly repeated in homes and public establishments, if you understand me, before it was linked to our Christian and Christmas theme. The original author of the words we use today came from the work of an Englishman, William Chatterton Dix, in the middle 1860s. It can be assured that he had no proclivity to the Greensleeves melody or the lady, so his intent was pure, and there is no connection between Jesus' mother and the ancient lady of secular thought. But Dix's lyrics were written well before the commercialized emphasis of Christmas, and in fact, coming into existence about the time of the American Civil War, made the times ripe for such an inspiring and hopeful message, and the poem called The Manger Throne quickly transitioned across the hemisphere from England to the United States and elsewhere. Its inspired words are very powerful, and the coupling with an old folk song seems natural for everyone to sing. It's What Child Is This in the Gold Book, number 25.
Thank you.
I really enjoy this next story. December the 24th, 1865, Phillips Brooks was half a world away from his home in Philadelphia. He was a man of 30 years of age at that time, but feeling much older and in need of physical and mental revival. He was a man of large frame, 6'6" or more tall, and 300 plus pounds in weight. He was never married, but had a great love of children. And having a prestigious position as a minister in a church in Philadelphia and later in Boston, he, along with his friend who was the organist and Sunday school director, had increased the participation of young people in that congregation from 30 in his first week to over 1,000 children each week several years later. Yet he had come to a time of need, of rekindled effort. And again, the times of the Civil War in the United States were very dark and trying times, particularly for those who had lost loved ones and those such as this man who tried to bring ministry to those people. And so he took a trip to the Holy Land and found himself in Jerusalem on Christmas Eve. This American felt an urge to get away from the hundreds of other pilgrims there, and although warned of the danger that he might encounter thieves and other challenges, the preacher borrowed a horse and set out across the desolate and unforgiving countryside. It became a wonderful time of prayer and meditation. At dusk, a sense of awe came over him as he rode into the still, tiny, and remote village of Bethlehem, the birthplace of the Savior. In his own words, he has recounted the experience. Before dark, we rode out of town to the field where they say the shepherds beheld the angel message. It is a fenced piece of ground with a cave in it, in which, strangely enough, they put the shepherds. And somewhere in those fields we rode through, the shepherds must have been. As we passed, the shepherds were still keeping watch over their flocks. This, along with his presence in the church built on the spot of Jesus' birth, gave him the lift that he so much needed and had a profound effect on his life. Now, the rigors of ministry plus the heavy spirit of the Americans in and after the Civil War had been much of a challenge to a minister, but his experience in the Holy Land gave him new hope. With it, he authored the words of O Little Town of Bethlehem. The tune was soon written by an associate, and it has been used and treasured ever since. He had truly experienced what he wrote about. Reverend Brooks became one of the most effective and renowned preachers in America in his day, and his sermons were published in several volumes, and apparently they are still read and studied today. Of additional interest, Brooks had been asked to preach in Westminster Abbey for Queen Victoria, and later Brooks was engaged to bring the eulogy sermon for U.S. President Abraham Lincoln's funeral, number 113 in the purple hymnals. and pay attention to the words that he experienced himself. There's so many wonderful hymns that we could have chosen.
As it is written, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. After his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now this took place that all things might be fulfilled which were spoken of the Lord by the prophets, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou virgin, who art highly favored of the Lord. The Lord is with thee, for thou art chosen and blessed among women. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How can this be? And the angel answered and said unto her, Of the Holy Ghost, and the power of the Highest. Therefore also that holy child that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoiceth in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he who is mighty hath done to me great things, and I will magnify his holy name. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all of his empire should be taxed. The same taxing was when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one in his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, she being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was none to give room for them in the inns. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord appeared unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. But the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this is the way that you shall find the babe. He is wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to men. And it came to pass that when the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen as they were manifested unto them. when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is the child that is born, the Messiah of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And when Herod had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them, saying, Where is the place that is written of by the prophets, in which Christ should be born? For he greatly feared, yet he believed not the prophets. And they said unto him, It is written by the prophets that he should be born in Bethlehem, which lieth in the land of Judea. Then Herod, when he had called the wise men privily, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search. Search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found the child, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, until it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened up their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. It was an ordinary evening that night of 0 BC in Bethlehem of Judea. The people had come from all over to pay their taxes, and there were none to give accommodations for the weary couple who were very close to delivering a baby. Somehow, it didn't seem right that for all the promises that had been given concerning this child, that he would be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that Mary had to struggle with the trip so late in her pregnancy, and that the Messiah that had been so long expected would be delivered in a stable, and a feeding trough would be his bed. Surely the angel Gabriel must have been mistaken. This was the most dismal and God-forsaken circumstance for the Son of God to have been born into. And yet, on this most ordinary of nights, God proclaimed the wonderful news to the most ordinary of people, shepherds watching their flocks at night. They were the chosen few to be given the invitation by angels from the very courts of heaven to go and see the Messiah the night of his birth. And so it continued for the entirety of Christ's earthly life, that he never had the fame and admiration of the world. He never had the easy road. As the scriptures say, he was despised and rejected of men. He was wrongly accused and defamed, willingly offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins, paying a debt he didn't owe for us who owed a debt we could not pay. In 3 days he rose from the dead, being the first fruits of eternal life, paving the way for our eternal life, and promising to come again to receive those who have covenanted with him to be his people and reign with them 1,000 years. What a wondrous change occurred when heaven came down and changed the course of mankind one ordinary night so long ago. Let us turn our hymnals to hymn number 109. O Come All Ye Faithful, we will sing this, and then Brother Chris Capps will bring our benediction. 109. Father and our God, today we have come to remember and to recall that glorious day, that glorious morning of the greatest gift that has ever been given. Lord, your plan is perfect. We can see it and we can feel it. We thank you for loving us, that you might pay our debt, loving us that you might fulfill this plan through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, as we gather with our families here in the next days to celebrate that birth, may we know and remember and glorify you as we give gifts one to another, as we share our greetings with others. May we be united in purpose as you would have us be. As we walk in your Holy Spirit, as we praise your name for this precious gift. So Lord, be with us and guide us and direct us. But open our hearts, Lord, to know that as you love us, you desire that love to go forward from us to others, that they might know of your great love and come unto you through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray this day. Amen. There is in the foyer a basket for those that would like to give your offerings there. And before you leave, if you would please take your seats, we have some gift baskets or gift bags, I guess, that we would like to pass out. So please be patient with us, and thank you again for coming and sharing this worship service with us today.